Well, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Is God awesome or what? Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. You know, there is nothing greater than serving God. And when you are abiding in His presence, when you walk with Him, Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit of God, this continuous state of overflow. I tell you, there's nothing that you cannot face when the Spirit of the Lord is empowering you, is strengthening you. And you and I are experiencing the manifestations of God in such a way that it makes all those who are around us jealous, because God is so faithful. He will make a way even when it seems impossible. He is a God who opens doors. He is a God who is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever even ask or imagine, the Word of God says. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my life. Have you? Hallelujah. And that is why we celebrate the Lord. We give Him all the glory, honor, and praise. And we are talking about the living waters of God this month as we are coming through our summer series, The Great and Glorious God. Do you know that God is great and glorious? He is great and glorious. And He is in the process of making all things new. Every day we are able to experience the newness of God. The mercies of God are new every morning, the Word of God says. Every morning is a brand new start. Isn't that great? Every morning is a brand new start. Yesterday is gone, but today is here. And God says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." God is the God of the living and not the dead. And so we are experiencing His life-giving water, the living waters of God. And that makes us experience His great and gloriousness. Hallelujah. And that is why we celebrate. That is why we give thanks to God. That is why we are doing all the things that God has called us to do. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you hungry this morning? Well, today I'm going to use as a theme, if anyone is thirsty. If anyone is thirsty. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And God, we just ask, oh Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit today. Lord, that each and every one in this place would know the dynamics of the power of your presence, and that you, oh God, would liberate hearts and renew minds. We ask, God, that the word of the Lord would come alive as it is brought forth. And Lord, that every hindering spirit would be bound. We rebuke the devourer and everything that would dare to cause confusion and chaos in the midst of the presence of God and his people. Lord, we thank you, O Lord, for manifesting yourself among us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his church, to his people, that you, Lord, would be glorified in our lives. That as we go forth from this day into the upcoming week, that we would go in the demonstration of your power and under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing greater than experiencing God. A lot of times, as the people of God, we go through life just believing in God, just believing that God exists. But God intends for us to have a greater experience in life than just believing that He exists. I believe in Australia. It's there. It's out there. But how much better when you visit, right? Hallelujah. I believe in amusement parks. Hallelujah. Do you believe in amusement parks? Yes. But that's more than just a place you believe in, right? It's a place you go to have an experience. And when you say, I'm going to the house of the Lord, it's not just because you believe in God. It's not just because you believe. You're going to have an experience. You're going to have an encounter with God. You come to the house of God so that you can engage in the Spirit of God. And the Lord takes you on a ride. Hallelujah. He takes you on a journey. He reveals things to you. You discover things. You come to know him in a more intimate and personal way. There's something about experiencing God that is beyond just belief. Belief is just the door. Belief is just the door. And once you open the door to belief, you step in to experience. And God begins to reveal himself. And the more hungry you are, the more thirsty you are, the more God is able to pour out his living water into your life. He will transform your life experiences. Your experiences in life will change when you allow the living waters of God to refresh you and to renew your mind, so that you have ears to hear and eyes to see, so that you can see and perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is seeing and perceiving, and that God would be able to reveal his perspective to us. And as we see things the way God sees them, it causes our hearts to align with his, and we then begin to have a different experience because we have had an encounter. When you have an encounter with God, it transforms everything. He is great and glorious. And the living waters of God, we've been talking about the living water of God. In the beginning of the month, we started out by understanding the benefits of water to the body and relating that to the Spirit and the Spirit of God. And you and I need living water. We need living water. You cannot live without water. It's critical to not only your human body, but it's critical to your spirit, to your soul. The living water is the Word of God engaged. It's not just the Word of God as it is read, but is the Word of God when it comes alive, when it goes to work. The movement of God's word by the Spirit of God. The Spirit anointing the word brings forth life. God enables us to have an experience and an encounter with God. So why stay dry? Why stay dry, right? Why stay dry? There's no reason to stay dry. How many of you like dry things, right? Maybe a cracker, right? But even a dry cracker, you want to put something on it, right? You need a dip or something that has some kind of moisture in it, something that has flavor. And that's what living water is. Living water has flavor. Living water is what brings you alive. Why go through life dry? Don't just go mundanely through one day after the next, one thing after another, trying to solve problems and deal with issues and just trying to stay alive. No, that's dry living. That's dry living. Getting up and going to work and then coming home and getting up and going to work, coming home and putting down fires and little problems that pop up in your life. That's dry living. That's dry living. Why stay dry when you can have life everlasting? Why stay dry when the Spirit of God can breathe into you? He can give you life. He can give you strength. He will rise up within you. The anointing of God will break yokes, will cause you to be liberated in the Spirit of God. You don't need to stay dry. Have you ever been to the desert? Have you ever been to a dry land? No. Well, sometimes it's good to go to these kind of places, just so you can be thankful for what you already have. Because this is a desert land. This is what happens when the ground, when the earth, when the atmosphere is so dry, even the ground cracks up. We're living in a day and age where the people are dry. Our country, our world, all of the social aspects of life are drying up. And that is why people are cracking up.
Hallelujah. And people are cracking up because they're dry. And when you don't have life in you, when you don't have living waters, when the waters are being dried up, being depleted, even Christians are being dried out. They're being dried out, and they're beginning to conform to the brokenness of this world and the lostness of this world, and we're finding ourselves broken. But God wants to give us life. God is a fountain of living water. He is a spring of living water. He is the waters that comes down from heaven, and it comes down into a spring of life, and we are able to be refreshed. And we have life, we have fruitfulness. Why? Because God is working in the midst of our life. He is stirring in our lives. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have love. We have joy. We have peace. We have patience, kindness, gentleness. We're able to endure all things. Why? Because the Spirit of God has given us life. The life of the Spirit of God flows in us. It flows in us. In John 7:37, our lead verse for today, it says, "Now on the last day of the great feast, day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" Hallelujah. Could you imagine being there? At this event, and here is Jesus crying out during the holy days, all the people around, and he's saying, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." Wow. Wow, what a statement to make. But Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was in the land that was cracking up, in the land that was dry. He understood the reality of man's need for living water, for the living waters of God, for the Spirit of God. So often we engage people and they're bitter and they're broken and they're harsh and they've lived a hard life. And they've suffered and they've endured challenges and difficulties that have dried them out. And unfortunately, no one wants to be around those kinds of people, right? Anybody here want to be around those people? No one wants to be around them. I tell you, there is no worse of an experience than being around miserable people. Because people who are miserable, They perpetuate more misery. They will drain you. They will bring you down. They will rob you of whatever life essence you have. They will drain you of your resources. They will deplete you. And it's because they are dry and broken. And you and I, we are called to be refreshed by the living waters of God. Only God can refresh you. Only God can bring life into you. The Spirit of God abiding in his presence, that's an experience. That's not just believing. It's not just believing in God's presence. It's experiencing God's presence. We're abiding in God's presence. It's knowing that he is with you, not just understanding the principle or the idea that God is with us, but it's knowing his presence. You can feel his presence. You can sense his presence. You know that he is with you. The anointing of God is with you. And verse 38 tells us, if I can get this to go. Hello, help me out back there. Hello. And so verse 38 says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Jesus is saying this. He's declaring this to the people. He's shouting it out. "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." That's you. That's you. That's you. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. Why? Because you came to the fountain and you drank. You came to Jesus. You came to the Lord. The Lord said, if you come to me, I will give you living water. I will give you water to drink. It's not enough to just know that Jesus is your Savior. It's not enough. It's not enough. I mean, you can be content with just knowing that, but you will never experience life to the extent that God intended you to experience it without having that experience in God. And this is what the world doesn't see. The world doesn't know. And that is why when you engage Christians who are operating in the presence of God, in the fullness of the Spirit of God, their whole disposition is different. They have life in them. There is moisture, right? How many times do you, right, in the, you're in the winter and it's cold and it's dry, right? Or in the summertime when you go swimming in the pool or you're out in the ocean, when you come out, what do you do after you rinse off? What do you have to do? Lotion, that's right. Moisturizer. Oh, come on now. You guys all know about that. Oh, that's right. Nobody goes anywhere where they're going to be getting in water or getting washed over without having a little bottle of lotion. Hallelujah. We even carry it in our cars for the days. You don't even have to be going anywhere where you're getting in the water. You could just get up in the morning, you shower, you go about your day. All of a sudden, about midday, you're looking, you're like, ooh, ashy, right? I don't know if anybody's ever said that from a pulpit. Yeah, I mean, we're ashy, right? People are ashy, right? What do you need? You need lotion. You need lotion. You need to moisturize. And that is why it's so important. If you want your hair looking lovely, yes, yes, my long, beautiful hair, hallelujah, that the Lord has blessed me with, you have to moisturize. You have to moisturize. And if you moisturize, it keeps it healthy. It keeps it strong. When it's dry, it's brittle and it breaks easy. Hallelujah. And that is why we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is why we need to be flowing with the living waters of God. Jesus is a life giver. He is the Word made flesh. The Word of God, it comes alive. When we meditate on it day and night, it transforms us. That's why we spend time in the Word of God, because it's like moisturizing us from within. It's stirring up a well. It's stirring up this fountain of life that God is giving us, that is raising us up to experience. And as a result, the Spirit of God is manifested in the midst of us. We experience transformation. In Psalm 42, David says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, not the God who's just God, not the God of the dead, not the God who's just somewhere out there, but the God who's alive. The idea is that God is engaging. He is engaging. He's involved in our lives. He wants to give us an experience. He wants us to know him, not just as one who's forgiven us of our sins, but as one who gives us life, one who breathes into us, one who causes us to see things from a different perspective. He lubricates us from the inside. So when we engage the brittle, cruel, cold people of the world, the people who are cracking up, we are soft and moisturized. So we don't break and crack up like they do. We are able to be pliable. We're soft. We blow in the wind. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why? Because God has given us life. The Spirit of the Lord abides in us. There is no greater experience than walking in the presence of God. Everything you do, you need to experience God's presence. Whatever you do for a living, when you go to work, you're praying through the day. You're saying, God, Lord, refresh me. Give me an anointing. God, as I work, let me know your presence. Lord, work through me. Use me, Lord, whatever your hands touch. Oh, God, let your spirit be engaged in it. Lord, that as I write, as I pick up phones and talk to people, as I work on my computer, with everything that I do, Spirit of the Lord, engage it. God, go through it. As we engage people, know that you are the life-giving fountain that God has poured into so that we can engage others. We engage others. And they are dried and cracking. Don't get upset with people. Don't get upset. People are offensive. They're harsh. They're cruel. They're cold. They're crazy. They're cracked up. I want you to think about that. The next time you start to get upset or somebody gets on your nerves, you know, pull back and say, whoa, I'm sorry. I forgot. You're cracking up. You're cracking up. You know, don't let them drag you in. Don't fall into the crevices. Let me get you some moisturizer. You know, I see you got a little ashy over here. You know, try it. You know, I got some lotion. Let me put something on that to help you. And we breathe life into people. And we are able to see from a different perspective. And we're able to understand. And we say, Holy Spirit, Lord God, Lord, show me. What do I need to say? What do I need to do? Or do I just need to just let it go? Do I need to leave it alone? And Lord, I'm just going to pray and let your spirit engage them. And everything you do, you need to feel the anointing in your hand. You need to feel the anointing in your hands. You need to feel the anointing of God and as you speak. There ought to be a stirring within your soul. David said, my soul thirsts for God. Is your soul thirsty? Well, what are you thirsting for? Is it God's presence? Oh, cultivate God's presence every day. Cultivate it. Spend time with God. Let him be glorified. Verse 3 says, my tears have been my food day and night while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Here is David, and he is struggling, and the theologians don't know exactly when this was written, but it's understood that it was during a time when he was running from Saul, or perhaps the time when Absalom, his son, tried to take over the kingdom and he was on the run. But whatever situation it was causing him brokenheartedness. He was crying out to God, and he was even being challenged by his own people around him saying, where's your God now? Where is your God? And saints of God, how many times have we heard that as Christians? People say, well, where is God when this happens or when that happens? Where is God when all these bad things happen, when trouble happens? Well, we're in an evil world. The world is fallen. The world is depleted of God. And the further away from God we get as the people of this world, the more the world is going to crack up, the more it will dry out. And the evil that we see, the increase in the evil, the word of God tells us it will be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when Christ returns. Can anybody see that? Oh, I'm sure you can see that. And it is coming. It is happening. The word of God is coming alive. Why does God tell us these things in advance? He tells us these things so we can be ready. So that we can train up our children in the next generation to let them know and understand they need to hold on to the truths of God, to the living water. Jesus is the living waters. He said, come to me and drink. Oh, saints of God, Jesus is that work of the word engaging in our lives, the word of God coming alive from within us. He says to himself, David says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his what? His presence. Hallelujah. David was longing for his presence. Why is that important? That's important because when you are walking with God, the presence of God is the thing that confirms. It confirms the Lord is with you. You know his presence. You know the presence of God. You know the Spirit of God. You know the anointing of God. We need to know him in the power of his presence. Do you know the presence of God? Do you know the anointing of God? Do you know God's presence? Whatever the situation is, when you feel overtaken by another presence, have you ever felt other presence other than the presence of God? Well, that presence can be driven out by God's presence. When you feel some other presence, that is why we cultivate God's Spirit within the midst of us. We allow the living waters of God to stir. And there is a word from God for every situation you face. There is a word from God for every single situation you face. We just need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we can appropriate the right perspective of God and align ourselves with his presence. And that's what frees us from the weight. The weight. Have you ever felt the weight of a situation? When circumstances are challenging and they're difficult, you know, there's a weight that goes with hardship. There's a weight that goes with difficulties. And that weightiness is the very thing that the Spirit of God will dispel. The Spirit of God will dispel it. And as we abide in his presence, as we abide in him, his presence continues to increase. That's why worship is so important. He says, I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. We have to cultivate the presence of God. Everything you do has a presence that goes with it. And people bring a presence with them. When they show up, whatever spirit is influencing them, that's the spirit they bring to you. And if they're angry, they have an angry spirit. That's a spirit, right? If people are fearful and afraid, that's a spirit of fear. That is coming from. But God says, I have not given you a spirit of but of power and of love and what? Sound mind. That means think clearly about it. Have God's perspective. Know what you're dealing with. Don't allow people to suck you into their world, because their world is not a place you want to go. It's dry, and clearly they're cracking up. And so you and I, we have to hear from God and appropriate the word of God, the living water. The word of God is the spirit engaging the word. Say that with me. Spirit engaging the word is living water. It causes water moves. It seeks its own level. It wants to be level. And that's what God wants us to be, level-minded, level living, so that we are able to overcome the obstacles, the challenges and the difficulties of life. And that is why you have to engage. We need to be in fellowship with level-minded people so that God can continue to minister to us, because you can't do this alone. Because it's so easy to get sucked into a wrong perspective, to a wrong mindset. And we need each other. We need to engage. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be in the midst of God's presence with people who are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. That means you're having an experience. That's what working out means, right? How many of you have gone to the gym before, right? Yeah, all of you. All right. Lots of you, yeah. Yeah, I'm supposed to be joining you, but we'll see. All right, you'll have to help me. But you don't go to the gym just to sit there and watch other people work, right? You don't go there to look at the weights. You don't go, wow, look at that machine. Oh, man, that is something.
Could you imagine the design of that? You know, that was incredible. How did a guy come up with that? Look at that. I mean, just incredible. Is that what we do? Is that what we do? We look at it and we examine, all, you know, oh man, I think, was that made in China? Where was that from? I don't know. But isn't that what people do with the Word of God? Isn't that what people do with the Scripture? They take the Word of God and we look at it and we go, oh yes, that was written by Paul. Oh yeah, about 30 years after the days. Oh yeah, isn't that, man, what do you think that is in the Hebrew? Oh, the Hebrew and the Greek. Oh, we got the Hebrew, we got the Greek. Oh, what do you think the original, oh, what's the situation? Oh, and we're analyzing. And we pick it apart and we understand it and we go away feeling educated. Oh, that's just, oh, I got so much knowledge. Meanwhile, we step outside and we're dry. Why are we dry? We're dry because we didn't have a spirit engagement. The purpose of the Word of God is not just so that we could be educated in the things of God. It leads to an experience. It leads to an encounter with God. It helps us to bridge the gap between earth and man and God. And we are able to have a divine encounter. The presence of God shows up. The anointing of God shows up. Oh, it's great to be educated and to have information and to know all these things. But I tell you, it's even better to have an experience in God. And that is why you and I walk with God, because we know His presence. It's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people for a moment, for a short period of time, and they would do what God tells them to do, and they would obey the rules or the law of God and follow that line and do everything that God did. And sometimes God wouldn't show up for years, decades, even hundreds of years. God wouldn't speak. He wouldn't say anything. He would say, I told your forefathers 100 years ago, stay with that. And if they didn't, then they'd suffer the consequences, even generations later. And it's because the Spirit of God was not abiding with them. But in the New Testament, Paul says, be filled. He says, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. He says, Jesus has come. He says, lo, I am with you always. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, you have every day. He says, I am not leaving you. I will send a comforter. I will send one who comes alongside you. I will send you someone who will advise you. He will tell you what to say, what not to say. He will be the one who guides and orders your steps. And that is what God wants you. He wants you to have an experience every day to know His presence. Oh, that is why we praise Him. That is why we praise Him. Hallelujah. That's why you have to praise God. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't become a worshiper, you will never be free. You will never be free because you will not have the ability to dispel whatever presence is holding you, is binding you. Oh, hallelujah. And when you understand the dynamics of it, cultivating God's presence, if you don't do that, other presence will come in. And those other atmospheres will overwhelm you. And you will find yourself being overtaken by some other perspective other than God's. Some other presence other than God's. That's why we listen to worship music. You got to put on some music that's going to bring glory to God, that's going to cultivate His Spirit. It is hard to find anointed music. It is hard. It's not just plentiful. Oh, there's plenty of Christian music, but it's not easy to find ministering music that will dispel atmospheres, that will drive out the oppression and bondage and hindering things, that will minister to your soul, that will breathe living water, that will be poured down from God, that will enable you to come alive. Oh, saints of God, we need an encounter with God. We need to know Him in His presence. In verse 6, he says, oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan.
Do you know the land of the Jordan? Remember, he remembers how God brought Israel across the Jordan. He brought them out of the wilderness, the desert wilderness, where it was dry and people were cracking up. They were there 40 years going through the wilderness when they could have made the journey in 40 days. But it took them that long because they couldn't get free of their Egyptian mindset. They had an Egyptian mentality. How many people of God have an Egyptian mentality today? How many people are thinking the way the world thinks or have a perspective the same as the world? They don't know God's perspective. They're not even interested and they're not holding on. And it doesn't matter how many times Moses went to the mountain and he came down and he spoke to the rock. He smacked the rock. He brought down manna from heaven. God sent all these things as evidences and proofs. God, over and over again, having experiences with the people to demonstrate that he was with them, cloud by day, fire by night, God bringing glory and honor with them in the midst of them, doing all types of things, yet they still wanted to go back to Egypt. And saints of God, people are still like that today. People will leave church and then they go back to Egypt in their minds and they have this whole worldly secular approach to their lives. And God says, you will be dry and crack up if you live that way. You don't need to live that way. God says, I have the moisturizing, living word of God. I will pour into you. There is a fountain coming down from God. Oh, it's like the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. That means the Jordan flows down the river into the Dead Sea. Do you know the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it has no outlet? It has no outlet. The Jordan River feeds it, and it's like a big pool that just keeps getting fuller and fuller. And this is what happens to people when they just keep getting full and full. You fill up, you fill up. They have all types of knowledge and information. They have all types of resources and everything, and they're just fattening themselves up. And ultimately, you end up with no life. And that is what happens in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea cannot sustain life. There's no fish in the Dead Sea. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. But miraculously, it has healing properties because of the salt. Because of the salt. And God has called us to be a people who have freely received, but we freely give. Hallelujah. Why? Because if you want life within yourself, you have to have an outlet. You have to be a giver. You have to be one who serves. You have to be one who blesses others, who encourages others, who changes the perspective of those who are outside of the perspective of God and help them to see what God sees in the way God sees it. And that brings life. Oh, it brings life. Oh, saints of God, if you want life in you, don't be like the Dead Sea. Oh, be living waters, fresh waters. That means sow into others, encourage others, build other people up and allow God to be glorified. In fact, David puts it this way. He says, deep calls to deep, deep calls to deep. Say that with me, deep calls to deep. Yes, the depths of your soul and the depths of God. There's this call when you're communing in God, your soul hungers. That's what David was saying. My soul thirsts for God. That is the deep calling to deep. God is deep. From the depths of your soul, we need the Lord. We need to cry out to God. Hallelujah. We cry out to God and we worship him. I tell you, the devil wants to rob you of your worship of God. Oh, I tell you, I'll never forget when I was a kid. I used to mock these people. It wasn't just me and a few friends in church when I was younger. I got to help myself here. But we would sit in church, and there was this lady who would sit in church, and whenever the preacher was preaching or the word was coming forth, she'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden she would go, ha-ha! She'd be sitting there, she'd go, ha-ha! And we'd be like, what is she doing? What's with that lady? She's going, ha-ha! And so we would laugh, you know. We were sitting here laughing, and we're like, it's the ha-ha lady. You know, look, you know. And she's ha-ha. So one by one, we would all start going, ha-ha. You know? We'd be in the back, you know, in the corner. You know how kids are. Yeah, in the back, we'd be goofing around and going, ha-ha. And she's like, ha-ha. So she would go, ha-ha. We go, ha-ha. And one day, I went, ha-ha. And the Spirit of God hit me. I was like, ooh. Oh, oh, I said, ha-ha, oh, I said, oh, what was that? And then I said, I got to do that again. And I went, ha-ha, and I felt it again. I was like, oh, no, it's on me. I got the ha-ha, I got the ha-ha. You know, it felt good. All of a sudden, I wanted to do ha-ha. I was laughing. I was having a good time. All of a sudden, the thing that I was mocking turned around and ended up to be a blessing. Leaped right all over me. I was like, what? Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. I learned that the anointing in the presence of God is real. The Spirit of the Lord is real. So I tell you that God wants us to have these encounters. He's reaching. It's the deep calling to the deep. He says, at the sound of your waterfalls. Whose waterfalls? God. God, the water is coming down. It's coming down from God. The waterfall is flowing. Oh, have you ever been to a waterfall? Oh, there's great waterfalls all around us in this area. Oh, man. You know, you can go in the water. It comes down. You can stand under it. Oh, my goodness. It's beautiful. It's awesome. The water is coming down heavily, and God wants to pour out. He says, all your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. God is washing over us. God wants to wash over you. Oh, when you're having challenges, have you ever had hardships and difficulties? David is suffering. He is having a hard time in life, in this period of his life. And you and I, we go through hardships. We go through difficult times. We suffer. We feel the weight of the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in. And we can only call out to the depths of God from the depths of our soul. Oh, my soul longs for God. It cries out to God. Oh, saints of God, cry out to God from your soul. Oh, I tell you, when you have deep troubles, oh, you will cry out from the depths of your soul to God. And God will show up. Deep calls to deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deep calls to deep. Do you hear it? Turn it up just a little bit. Let me. Oh, the breakers of your waterfalls, the waves rolling over you. Ah, let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let God wash over you. Oh, the deep calls to deep. The waters of God, his waterfalls coming down. The Lord will wash away your sin. He will renew your mind. He will liberate you. He will set you free. Whatever your challenges are, whatever your issues are, God says he can wash over them. He can bring newness and life to you. He can sustain you, and he can keep you. Let the depths of God, oh, hallelujah, oh, as only God can. And this is what God does. Life has its difficulties. Often it's one after the other. It can be overwhelming, but the Lord, he will see you through them as we cry out to him in worship. Oh, saints of God, this is why we worship the Lord. We say, Lord, bring in your presence and drive out every other presence. Give us living waters, oh God. Renew us, Lord. Wash me. Make me new, Father. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Liberate us and set us free. God, he will lift those burdens, and he will wash them away as the word of God goes to work in our life. In verse 8, it says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. Hallelujah. A prayer to the God of my life. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, God wants to give you a song that instead of going through the problems and the issues in your mind while you lay at night, he will give you a song that will be like a prayer to dispel whatever it is that's oppressing, whatever it is that is burdening you. God will give you a song that will wash over you in the night. It will renew you. It will revive you. Whatever you're full of, that's what's going to come out. Hallelujah. Whatever you're full of, that's what's going to come out. I tell you, I've seen many people who, when they get old, you know, people get like dementia and they start to kind of lose their faculties. And I tell you, that has always concerned me. And I always knew the importance of meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God day and night, letting God renew your mind. Because when you get to that point in life, you don't know what you're going to say. You don't know what's going to come out of you, right? You've seen people, they say crazy things. They do crazy things. And it's why? Because their mind is not really there. But if you fill up on the Word of God, let the Word of God wash over you. Let it renew you. Let God have control over your life. Prepare yourself for the day when your body starts to go, right? And you start to crack up. Know that you have the Word of God anchored. Your mind has been renewed. Your mind has been transformed. Your life transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why the Word of God, Satan doesn't want you in the Word of God. He doesn't want you to spend time in the Word of God, meditating on it. And thank God for technology. You can just put it on your headphones and your phone and let the Word play like music. Hallelujah. It can play like music. The Word of God will play, and as it plays, it will renew your mind. It will wash over. God will speak to you. He will reveal things to you. You'll hear things that you never noticed before, and God will bring life. The Word of God says faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Oh, that is the way the Word of God was meant to be communicated. It was meant to be communicated verbally so that you can hear it. Let the life-giving work of the Spirit of God come to you. Let God give you a song that will keep you in the night, that you can convert to a prayer. When we worship God, that song is a prayer. Hallelujah. That song is a prayer. And that's why when we hear the worship and we have the words on the screen, that's why we have it, because it becomes a prayer. And we can all pray the same prayer. And God can work in the midst of all of us together. And we can be unified, and the Spirit of the Lord will show up, and there will be a strong anointing. What is church without the presence of God? What is church without the anointing of the Spirit of God? What is church without people who are singing from the depths of their soul? David said, out of my soul cries out. I'm panting like a deer for water. Oh, my soul cries out. That is why we worship God. We have the Word so you can cry out from the depths of your soul. Oh, I've been to churches and everybody's just watching. They watch the worship team sing. They watch people sing. They listen to other people sing. That is not why we're here. That's like going to the amusement park and watching people ride the roller coaster. Oh yeah, I'm going to pay $80 and watch everybody ride the roller coaster and watch everybody enjoy popcorn and cotton candy. And I'm going to watch people ride all the games and watch the kids enjoying life. And I'm just going to sit there. Yeah. Yeah. Cost me a lot of money to be here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get on a ride. Get on a ride. I don't care how old you are. Get on a ride. And let God do a new thing in your life. Let the Spirit of God show you something. Holy Spirit, speak to your people. Bring revelation to your people. Give them ears to hear. David says, as a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Oh, he is here. He is with me. That is what you and I can say today. Even when your bones are so brittle, they're shattering. He's literally falling apart. He's cracking up because he's got the wrong perspective. perspective, and now he's speaking to himself. Hallelujah. How many of you know you got to, sometimes you got to speak to yourself. You got to speak to yourself. You've got to stir up the very gift of the Spirit of God that you have within you if you belong to Christ. You need the life-giving word to come alive in you. He says to himself, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Hallelujah. Do you know if you just smile, things will start to change for you? Goodness. That's your countenance. Your countenance is what you're putting out, what you're radiating. Some people walk around. They're so used to having a mean look, they don't even know that it's a mean look. They're so comfortable with a mean look. They like smile. It's like. It's hard. It's hard. Like there's something wrong with smiling. Smile means God is stirring joy within. Hallelujah. There's something going on within you. There's a stirring in your soul. Is your soul thirsty for God? I pray that you're thirsty. When your soul is thirsty, there's something stirring. Oh, there's a joy ride going on. Inside my soul, I'm riding a roller coaster. I'm like, click, 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 click. Woo! They're like, what are you so happy about? I just came down the roller coaster. Woo! Hallelujah! Why? Because God is stirring in you. God is showing you things. He's speaking to you. God is revealing things to you. He'll bring people to your mind, and he'll cause you to pray for them, and you'll intercede for people. Why? Because your perspective changes. Now you're seeing things from God's perspective. The people in your life aren't just people anymore. Now they're people that God is trying to breathe life into. He's trying to give an experience, and we're praying and we're interceding that people would have an encounter with God, that they would show up at the gospel amusement park and that get on the rides of the Spirit of the Lord so that they can have revelation, so they can have understanding, so that they can have perspective, so that they can have healing, so that they can have deliverance, so that they can have whatever it needs. God says, I got a ride for that. I got a ride for what you need, and we need God to take us for a ride. Hallelujah. Oh, let your countenance be changed. Start praising God. Oh, hallelujah. Learn how to lift your hands up. You got to learn how to lift your hands up. If your hands feel like they're made of iron, then fight to get them up. Get somebody to help you. Say, I can't get my hands up. I can't get my hands up. You need to get some help and let somebody help you out. There's nothing wrong with needing a little help. But when you lift up your, God says, lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. Why would God say that if it didn't mean anything? Why would God say, lift up? Why would he say, shout unto God? Why would he say to shout if it didn't mean anything? We know that God has given us these. Yes, yes, Jesus has given us the praise so that we can have an experience in God. Hope in God, saints, for I shall yet praise him. Oh, saints of God, praise him, and he will change your countenance. You will come alive. You will have a different life experience. Worship is the tool God gives us as a weapon to deliver our souls from despair, from oppression, from bondage. It opens the portal between you and God and heaven. Hallelujah. That's why I say he doesn't want, oh no, don't you want, you can go to the football game and you can do all kinds of stuff. Hey, you can do all kinds of stuff. You can rally, you can shout, you can go to a sports event, you can act crazy, you can go like, right? You can put stuff on your chest and you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But why not in the house of God? Saints of God. You got a backwards life experience going on.
You ought to feel free in the house of God. This is where we feel free. This is where we are liberated. This is where the Spirit of God is. When you go out into the world, now you got to be like, right? Now you got to see, Holy Spirit, which way should I go? Which way should I go? Driving down the road. Nobody on the road but you. One other car comes out. Where does he come? In a collision course with you. Oh, yeah. Nobody else, just you. Here they come. Boom. You couldn't wait like another minute just so I could pass by before you decide to come shooting out. I got to throw in. Nobody else on the road, right? How often does that happen to you? I know it happens a lot with me. Or maybe I'm just under attack. I don't know. But it happens a lot. And so we have to be careful out in the world. We have to be discerning out in the world. We need the Spirit of God to guide us in the world. But in the house of God, we can lift up our hands. We can worship God. We can glorify him. We can magnify his name. We can know him in the power of his Spirit. In the glory of God, as the word of God comes alive. In fact, that's last thing for Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36 and 37, a couple of verses here in this first 10-verse span. It says, Ezekiel says, or God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." Now, what is happening here is God is there telling him to prophesy or to say what it is that God wants him to say. And he's wanting him to speak life, to breathe life into something, into this situation. When it says prophesy to the mountains, that doesn't just mean the mountains. It means not only the mountains, but the land and everyone in it, which is the people of God. God wants us to be able to speak into the land and everything that belongs to him, which is everything. That's right. That was the easy one. Yeah. Everything belongs to God. And so God is saying, look, I'm going to give you direction, and I want you to prophesy to these mountains of Israel or the people of Israel and say to them, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what you and I need to understand. He says, thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has spoken. What? The enemy has spoken. Do you know that Satan is always speaking? And he is trying to confuse the word of God with his word so that you will believe that you're hearing from God when you're hearing from Satan. He is the master deceiver. He is, in fact, the word of God says even the very elect would be deceived in the end days if it were possible. But the reason it's not possible is because we know the voice of the Spirit of God, and we're able to discern the difference, and God rescues us by giving us another word. God will renew the very word that is spoken into our lives so that life is imparted to us. And it causes us to act differently. And so he says, because the enemy has spoken against you, aha, and the everlasting heights have become our possession. In other words, he's saying the enemy is saying, ah, the thing that God gave you is now ours. I'm going to take it. And Satan wants to take what God has given you. God wants to take what God wants you to retain, what Satan is trying to take from you, the very thing that he gave you, God wants you to hold on to it. The enemy is speaking to try to get you to give it up. Remember, Satan can't take anything. You have to give it up. That's what happened in the garden. He beguiled Adam and Eve. He got them to give up their authority, to give up their blessing and all that they had in the very garden with Jacob and Esau. When he gave up his birthright, right? He couldn't take it from him. It had to be given up. And saints of God, we've got to stop giving up things. We got to stop giving up things, and we have to hold on to the very thing that God has given us. And we have to stand and remember the word of God. Know what the will of the Lord is. Verse 6 says, therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken, hallelujah, in my jealousy and in my wrath, because you have endured the insults of the nations. In other words, God says, because you didn't give up, because you didn't just give in, you endured the insults. You endured the challenges. I believe we're living in a day now where you have to learn how to endure insults. You have to learn how to endure those things that are coming from the enemy. Satan is speaking. There is a contradictory spirit that is working in the world to deceive people. I believe it began with COVID, and it's been, well, it didn't begin with COVID, but it certainly was escalated with COVID, and it is now perpetuated in the world. And you and I, we're seeing this change that is taking place, and it's because the enemy is speaking. And you and I, we have to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We have to hold on to the word of God. And we have to hold on to God. He says, behold, I have spoken. Hallelujah. I almost made that the sermon title. I have spoken. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, I love that Star Wars. But anyway, God is speaking. God is speaking. He says, for behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. I will multiply men on you, and all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. God is saying, I am going to prosper you. I am going to bless you. This is what it means when God is with you. He changes your life experience. Just having a relationship with God, just cultivating his presence in your life will open doors that no man can shut. It will cause the crooked way to be made straight. He will bring down the mountains so that you can walk over them. He will raise up valleys so you can cross over them. He will enable you to overcome, to make you victorious. He will enable you to be able to experience life afresh and anew. I am with you. Oh, I will turn to you. There's nothing better than God turning to you. I need God to turn to me. This is personal. This is just for you. This is just for me. When we allow God to be stirred up within our lives, when you become a worshiper of God, when you glorify him, when you magnify him, God shows up to you within the depths of your soul. He renews you and revives you. There are times when we have to prophesy to ourselves. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be able to speak to yourself. You need to be able to say, self, we need a word from God. Lord, what are you saying, Lord? And you got to have a conversation with yourself. And you've got to be able to let God speak into your life, into your heart, and allow the Spirit of God to manifest itself. Your situations will change. And we'll say to whatever God has said, whatever God says, that's what I have spoken. You and I, we need to know what God says. When you know what God says, then you can speak that and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Don't speak your own thing, but speak what the Lord says. Hallelujah. You can conjure things up in your own mind. You can calculate and try to figure it out, but don't even think that God is going to honor your word. God is going to honor his word. We have to hear from him. We have to know what the word of the Lord says. That's why we abide in it day and night. We meditate on him. We allow his spirit to be cultivated, to fill us, to manifest itself in our life. Why? Because we want to be able to say that God has spoken. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord. He says, thus says the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. When you say, I have spoken, you know you got it from the Lord. Then you can confidently say, I have spoken. I have spoken. Why? Because God is speaking through you. It is the voice of the Lord. The Lord is speaking. And Ezekiel 37, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me. You see that? He caused me. It wouldn't have happened otherwise,
But God did something to bring him to this place where he passes among them and he's going around about them and says, there, behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were what? Very dry. Hallelujah. Very dry. This is the bones of those who have died. And they were dead. Dead bones. They were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. Hallelujah. How many would know? You don't try to guess on God, right? You don't try to guess God. So here's Ezekiel. He said, Lord, you know, whatever you say, Lord, is what will happen. Can they live? Well, Lord, you know if they can live or not. And so he gives God the ability to make the call. And again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, saints of God, this is why you need living water within you. You need the word of God with the Spirit's anointing upon it. That's stirring life within you so that you can have the word of the Lord to pour out. And so he says, prophesy. That means to say what God says. Say what the word of the Lord is. He says to speak this word. And he says to them in verse 5, the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. Man, I love that. This is what God does for his people. When you come to the Lord, when you abide in him, when you walk with him, he will cause breath to come into you. You will come alive. You will be stirred up. The Spirit of the Lord will bring you to life. You will be able to overcome. Verse 10 says, I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet. An exceedingly great army. Hallelujah. Wow, hallelujah. Saints of God, this is awesome. God brought dead bones to life. How much more can he reach your loved one? How much more can he intervene in the life of the people around us? How much more can he transform and change your situation? How much more can he liberate and set free? I'm telling you, worship will break chains. Worship will cause your life to be transformed. You will have a different life experience. Learn how to lift up holy hands. Learn how to shout to God. Learn how to do as the psalmist says, praise him with your feet. Learn how to praise him with your whole self and allow the Spirit of God to work within you and allow his presence to consume you. God will breathe life into your dead bones, into your dry bones, and they will come alive. It will change your family. It will change your children. It'll change your friends. It'll change your name. Anybody who knows you will be impacted by the change in your life. Oh, saints of God, we know that the generations that come after us are the fruit of the way we lived our lives. And that is why we have to live a life that aligns with the word of God. If you don't become a worshiper, your children will not be worshipers. They will not be worshipers. If you don't learn how to praise God, they're going to be robbed of the praise from within themselves because they're going to do whatever they see you do. And that is why it's important to be free and praise God and to lift up holy hands, to allow the Spirit of God to move. I pray that if you don't do it, that God would bring somebody in their life to influence them who can do it for you, and that they will be a more powerful spiritual influence than we have been to ourselves, because God wants life to be imparted to people. He wants life to be imparted to the next generation. He wants life to be imparted to coworkers and friends. And God is calling the deep, calling to deep. In your deep suffering, in your deep oppression, in your deep former state of bondage, cry out to God and let the depths of God pour down on you and let life be imparted to you. Even the driest of bones can be brought back to life by the breath of God. The Spirit of God wants to breathe. Let him breathe into you. Let the Spirit of God breathe into your life. Take a deep breath. Go. Let the breath of God come into you. Let God's breath breathe life into you. And finally, Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine. That's what people do because they're trying to deal with the emptiness and the oppression and the bondage. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God freely flow into your life. Let the Spirit of God freely move in the midst of you. That's the living water. Let God's water stir. Speaking to yourself. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. We got to learn how to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're making melody. We're singing in our hearts to the Lord. We are allowing the stirring of the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the movement of God, so that His glory can be manifested in our lives. That's why Jesus said in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, oh, from deep within you, will flow rivers of living water. Let the word of God engage you. Let the word of God bring life to you. Let the anointing of God pour over you so you won't be dry. There's nothing worse than a dry Christian. It's somebody who has no life in them. Let the living waters of God, let them be replenished in your life. Let God fill you from his overwhelming spring. Let the overflowing Spirit of God, the waters of God, come down into your life. Is anyone thirsty today? Are you thirsty today? Oh, let him come to him and drink. Let the Spirit of the Lord be glorified in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, we are so thankful and we are so grateful because God is a great and glorious God and he wants to give you a brand new start. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on.
You're the risen Savior. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our day. Open up, open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our day.
We've waited. We're gathered in your name, we're calling out to you. Glowing like a fire, awakening desire, renewing our hearts with you. Your love is we're here, and your love is we're singing.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing through your heart, filling every part of our days. Open up the heavens, open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing through your heart, filling every part of our days.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you.
Waters of God to flow into your life, that there is an outpouring of the Spirit of God coming down from God out of heaven. Why stay dry?
when all you need to do is glorify God. Lift up holy hands. Let him be exalted in your life. Out of the depths of your soul. I know it's not easy to praise God. Why? Because the devil wants to hold your hands down. He doesn't want you to be free. He doesn't want you to be liberated. But if you fight, that's why they call it the good fight of faith. It's a fight. Once you break through, you're through. You only need to get through one time. Once you get through that door, you will be liberated. God will have set the captive free. He will make a way, even when it seems impossible. He will enable you to overcome. No more bondage, no more oppression. You will have new life. All things will pass away, and behold, all things will be made new. God has called us so that we can gather together in his name, and each one bringing the portion of God's presence that we all have. And when we all bring our peace, we come and we put it together. The power of God is manifested. It becomes a healing atmosphere. It becomes a delivering atmosphere. It becomes an atmosphere where people are able to have revelation and perspective and understanding that comes from God. We need a fresh anointing today. We need the breath of God breathed into us today. Oh, but we need our souls to pant after God, to be stirring in hunger and thirst for God. I pray that you're hungry today and that you are not leaving this place empty, not leaving this place dry, but you're leaving with the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord and the glory of God. Lord, I pray that you would fill every person in this place. Fill them to overflowing. Let your anointing arise. Let your presence arise. Give us power and authority to operate on the directions of your word, that when we go out into this world, we would be able to represent the kingdom of God and your power. God, give us an outpouring of fresh anointing. Move in the midst of us. Dispel every hindering spirit. Bring down every weight. Break every form of bondage and chain, and enable your people to represent the kingdom of God in the fullness of God, by the power of God and the Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Show us your glory.
Come on.
Show us your power. Show us your